This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Budget 2019 made several references to the property sector, from an increase in the real property gains tax to higher stamp duties and crowdfunding as a way to help Malaysians own their first home. So let's start with Budget 2019's measures to increase access to affordable housing. Saki, what piqued your interest?
Good morning, Keith. Yes. As far as I believe this budget, when I read it, I do believe this is a budget for the B40. People, you know, and I feel that this budget really will help spur affordable housing and also first-time home buyers. I think this is a budget for those category of people, yeah.
Well, let's start with, even before the budget, Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng did exempt SST on construction material, and he thinks this will lead to discounts of as much as 10%. What do you think about that?
I think maybe 10% is probably on the higher scale of things. I believe it will have an impact, but I don't believe the impact is going to be as much as 10%, maybe below 5%, I would have thought so. That's my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. But it's not exactly enforceable by the government, right? If RERA members, for example...
Oh, no, you're talking about RERA. Yeah. That's a different thing. The SST is a different thing. RERA 10% discount, that was...
It's related, though.
It's related. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. The RERA 10% discount is not enforceable. I totally agree with that. But however, I do believe... In the spirit of Malaysia Baru, RERA developers will follow the call of RERA to offer the 10% discount following from, like you said, the SST waiver for some of the building materials.
Now, the government has also acknowledged that there is a problem with an overhung situation, especially with residential properties, something like 22 billion ringgit worth of it, and that's like 65% more than the previous year. Now, the solution was to waive all stamp duty charges for first-time purchases of homes valued between 300,000 ringgit and 1 million. What are your thoughts on this? How will this help?
Yeah, this waiver is until 2020. This waiver is until 2020. And I think this will really spur the market, the housing market. The waiver for those houses up to 500,000 mm-hmm. is for the first time houses, the first time buyers is until 2020. And for those above, for those first time buyers between 300 to 1 million, the waiver is for six months from January 2019. I think what's going to happen is the residential market, the housing market is going to get a kickstart next year with this waiver. First-time home buyers, especially those in that range between 300,000 to 1 million, will go into the market to take advantage of the stamp duty waiver. Right. And so with that, I think what will also happen is the momentum will carry on towards the second half of next year. So I believe this is good for the housing market.
I'm curious though, Saki, this waiver on property, does this only apply to new launches or...?
Yes. No, this, as far as I understand, this is for the first-time home buyer.
Right.
It is not for new launches.
So it's across the board?
It's across the board. Second-hand property or first-time or new launches. Either way, these waivers are applicable.
And speaking of the secondary market, real estate agents, they claim that the property overhang situation is really not as bad with the secondary market. What do you think about this?
The overhang situation is actually only relates to new launches by the developers. So it does not measure the secondary market. So definitely, as far as the secondary market is concerned, a lot of real estate agents do say they are having a reasonably they had a good, reasonably good year. So I don't think that this overhang situation, as I think in the past I've explained before, I think it is not too much to worry about because maybe those figures are a bit inflated because of the way it is measured.
How is it measured?
Because it measured by any homes that are not sold more after 9 months. And therefore, 9 months may be a too short a time to measure whether a project should be sold out by 9 months. Yeah.
So we don't really have to worry about it.
I do believe the overhang situation is overstated.
Overstated, right. You mentioned that this budget is very much a B40, especially first-time home buyers type of budget. Developers keep insisting that the access to financing, it's a little bit challenging for first-time home buyers, especially those with very little credit history. How serious is this problem, this access to financing?
I think this is a serious problem, definitely, because the kind of rejections that that is faced by developers in terms of those who purchase and couldn't get a loan is quite considerable. So when developers actually say that this is a serious problem, I do believe them, because the sales cannot go through because when their purchases go to the bank, they are unable to get those financing. And I think that is where the government in this budget has decided to at least for the properties below 150,000 up to 150,000, they have allocated 1 billion at financing at 3.5% per annum through some participating financial institution. I think this is a very good move to at least ease these complaints that a lot of developers have stated about.
I remember speaking with the former RERA president, Dato Sri F.D. Iskandar. He told me it's not so much that home buyers get their loans rejected outright. Most of the time is that they can't get the loan that they need, which led to developers offering bridging loans to make up that difference. But it resulted in a lot of resistance, especially from the Home Buyers Association, saying that this might actually cause more loan defaults. What do you think about this?
I think that's true. I do agree with developers extending finance. That might put developers are in the business of developing properties.
Exactly.
And they're not in the business of lending money. And if they do lend money, the kind of rates that they will put up can't be the same as the bank rates. So therefore, the repayment ability of those guys who couldn't get a loan from the bank, now going to the developer, definitely we will have a situation where people can't make repayments. And that is bad for the housing market.
Now, earlier we were talking about affordable homes. That itself is an argument in itself. You know, where affordable homes are defined, how they are defined, are we at any solution right now?
I think the from what I can see, RERA's definition of what is affordable seems to make more sense to me, because it's more in terms of where the locations are, and you can't just make one price for the entire country, you see, because affordable homes in Kuala Lumpur may not be the same as the affordable homes in Alostar.
Correct.
Know?
We are in the middle of sifting through what effects Budget 2019 might have on Malaysia's real estate sector with Sakunan Subramaniam, Knight Frank Malaysia's Managing Director. In a little while, we'll talk about a world's first, Malaysia's introduction of a peer-to-peer funding for residential properties. This is The Property Show on BFM 89.9. This is The Property Show on BFM 89.9. We have Sakunan Subramaniam, Knight Frank Malaysia's Managing Director, helping us sift through property-related references made during last week's Budget 2019 tabling. Now, Saki, property crowdfunding, this is a world's first, and it looks like it could be the magic bullet that will solve property ownership for first-time home buyers. What do you think?
Wow, magic bullet.
Magic bullet.
But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I believe this is an excellent idea. It's innovative. Malaysia is in the forefront of innovating things like this, and I think it's really very good. I believe this will help a lot of home buyers who don't qualify or unable to get loans from the banks to go to peer-to-peer funding. And it also helps the fund market, you know, in terms of where to put your money, where to invest your money. So if I've got excess money and I want a return better than the bank, I may want to put this money into a fund that is started so that it can lend out money to this people and then get a return. That then follows through to my little caveat that I have in terms of what I believe is very necessary if we go ahead with this. I know the government said they are going through the regulations and the Securities Commission is studying the matter. I believe it is very imperative to understand the fact that these are the people who may not get financing with the bank, so they are going to peer-to-peer. So if I want a return, I want a return higher than what I put in the bank, right, like I said just now. So these people will be subject to loans which are high, at a higher rate. And as far as these residential REITs are concerned, now, if you may call it REITs, yeah, they have to pay back to the people who put the people who funded them. And this the kind of returns, if you won back. And if these people are unable to repay their loans, that's the worry I have.
So wait, Saki, just let me stop you there. You are right. Dato Tong Kwee Ong, whose brainchild this is, he did call it a residential REIT. But essentially how this works is that the potential home buyer, they've given three criteria for these home buyers. They have to be above 18, it has to be their first home, and they cannot be bankrupt. So this potential home buyer, they put in 20% of the price of the property, and the balance is fulfilled via potential investors who are essentially the peer-to-peer crowdfunding party. They are interested to fund the acquisition in exchange for a potential appreciation in value of the property over a particular period of time. Your concern here is for the group of investors putting in the 80%. Now, Fund My Home, which is the agency involved in this, confirmed that it is currently going through Securities Commission regulatory approvals. Is that not enough?
I think the criteria are maybe not enough. Because as far as I see, there are two things here. One is the repayment of the loan, and the other thing is the capital gains on the property. Now, there are two ways whether these funds can work. Whether these funds are going to give annual dividends, if they are going to give annual dividends, then there has to be repayments on the loan.
Right.
And these repayments, if they have only these three criteria exist, then I think it may be an issue. They have to have the similar sort of criteria, not as stringent as the banks, but they need to really verify these individuals whether they have the capacity to repay the loans.
And we're talking about the 80%.
The 80% financing that you get. But if, on the other hand, if it's only based on the capital gain return, that means this fund will only pay back in 5 years' time or until the maturity of the fund, and based on the fact that what's the property worth then, the question is, are they going to sell these properties and get that return, or is those individuals going to then pay back those 80% through another way in order for the fund to return? So these are issues that we need to clarify. And I feel what is important is setting together a regulation that is actually important, which is really vet through these people who go into this sort of financing. I'm worried that if we don't do that now, we may even have a situation like what we saw in America, the subprime crisis, because the mortgages were not of good value, you know. So that is a worry that I have. But nevertheless, I'm very confident that the Securities Commission and the government will see this issue and they will take the necessary steps.
Well, they expect this to go live in April next year, second quarter next year at least. To get the ball rolling, it's actually started, but the parties, the organizations putting in the 80% at the moment are financial institutions like, you know, the major banks, for example. Maybe you think this might actually give them some idea how this might work in the future?
Correct. That's why, because now the banks are putting in the money, the latest effort that I've seen. But of course, as soon as the legislation goes through, the amendments goes through, Securities Commission approves it, they're going to then put it back into the market for us to then buy into, and the banks can move come out of those funds. So my opinion is that if they are not stringent even now in terms of what kind of people get these loans, then what is then pumped out back into the public, whether its rating is as great, is a question mark. So I believe, I'm sure people already see this, even as I see it. So they will ensure that the credit rating of these individuals, not only those three criterias, will be taken into account.
I'm sure SC has its work cut out for it. Now, let's move on to the impacts of taxes. This is another significant one, the real property gains tax, RPGT. There is a revision for disposals of properties or shares in property holding companies after the fifth year. And, you know, so for now, companies and foreigners, they have to pay, for individuals, they have to pay 5% from zero previously and 10% for foreigners and companies. What do you think, what sort of impact do you think this
will
have?
I don't think this is going to have a major impact, because you must go back to the regime of RPGT as it was even before Tun Badawi was the Prime Minister. At that time, those sort of 5% RPGT for properties owned after 5 years did exist. Then there was a stage when Tun Badawi decided there was no RPGT, and then that's when a lot of speculation come into the market, and then it was reintroduced by the former premier. So by introducing this 5%, we're just going back to what it was before. So I do not think this is going to be a major impact. So I disagree with some institutions who have come up and say it's going to affect investment in Malaysia, in property in Malaysia. I really think that is not right.
The purpose of the RPGT was essentially to curb speculation in property, right? Is that a concern right now?
Yes, certainly. Every government wants to curb speculation because they want housing affordable to their people. Speculation is one of those bad things that makes others who can't afford the property homeless, you know. So, therefore, I think RPGT is good. More than 5 years, 5%. Having 5%, I think it's an excellent idea for the government to raise revenue.
But yeah, to raise revenue, but will this have that desired effect of lowering house prices?
I think it will have minimal impact, in my opinion, in terms of, because people are all used to this 5%. Yes,
because it was in place
before. It was in place before.
Now, the stamp duty on the transfer of property valued at more than R1 million, that's going to increase from 3 to 4%, the kind of impact that we can expect.
Again, if you really look at it, it's not much of a cost in terms of absolute amount. Mm-hmm. If it's $1 million, another 10,000 plus ringgit. So I feel the 1% increase for those properties above 1 million, similarly, I think, will not have a major impact on the property market. It's not going to be a deterrent for anyone to buy properties above 1 million, put it that way.
Now, Saki, before we finish, what would you like to have seen in Budget 2019 that wasn't included?
Actually, I am quite happy with the Budget 2019. I do believe the fact that when the government looks into its social responsibilities to provide affordable homes and get first home buyers incentive to allow them to buy homes, I think this is right. One of the things I had recommended was for DIBS to be reintroduced for first-time home buyers. That didn't come through in this case. But nevertheless, I think the government has covered it quite well.
Like you said, it is a budget for the B40 and first-time home buyers, right?
Correct.
All right. Thank you very much, Saki.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.